It's the Tiltcast, episode 620, This Guy.
And this week, guys, we talk Doom the Dark Ages, Forever Skies, and some games we saw in PAX East coverage. Stay tuned.
That guy. And we're back. It is the Tiltcast. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
Still no Rusty, but he'll be coming back. And with the two of us, you'll get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit. Or less.
Yeah. Or less. Who knows? Some games, some news. What were you going to say?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. So, no. Been a busy
great
week.
Start.
Yeah. Just over talk each other here. Been a busy week for both of us. You've been dealing with ball practice.
Yeah. I found that after I said last week I was going to dive into Oblivion at least a couple days this week. After we recorded, the next day, my wife tells me when I get home from work, oh, Titans baseball season starts this week, like initial practices. And his coach is just one of the moms who doesn't really have any baseball experience other than watching her kids the last couple of years.
Well, wow.
Great. So... Who ended up running the first three practices? This guy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because while I didn't play a ton of baseball, like I played enough high school, middle school and high school ball to, back when that was still really accessible to just about anybody. Now it's priced so bad that God, baseball's expensive now.
You gotta buy uniforms and a glove and a bat and a helmet. What else do you gotta buy?
Well,
is that all that's really expensive?
Luckily, like with the league we've got him in, like it's just a public league with Tulsa Parks, right? So like that's not that expensive. It's like $20. They provide a jersey and a hat. Cool. But everything else is so expensive. Your baseball cleats, baseball bats.
I forgot about cleats.
Gloves. Everything's so damn expensive anymore. One of the cheapest metal bats you can get is $200.
Well, to be fair, I haven't played high school ball in over 20 years, so it's been a minute. Yeah. I still have my Easton baseball, like basically a metal T-ball bat behind my door as my first line of defense.
Yeah, well, you know.
And that probably cost $50.
Titans using like a... I've got him using a fast pitch softball bat. One, because it's 18 ounces, which for his age group is pretty good. And since it's a fast pitch softball bat, it's still thinner like a regular baseball bat.
They're still using aluminum bats.
And can take the impact of the baseball.
Yeah, they're still using aluminum bats at that age, aren't they?
Yeah.
God, I wonder what wooden bats cost. I used to be really good at baseball. I probably went through 50 bats when I was in high school.
Let me put it this way. The cheapest wooden bat I saw on Dick's Sporting Goods was $350.
Good Lord. I used to break those things all the time.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So, and like helmets, $150. Stuff like that. So like we've still got to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get him get him a new helmet because the one we got him last year is already too small.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so we go to, like, there is still a Play It Again Sports in town. Down near you.
Oh, yeah, the used sporting goods place.
Yep. So we'll go down there, you know, like, get him a helmet, maybe get another bat if we find one that's reasonable. You know, and go from the, you know, and we just go from there. Luckily, we already found him some cleats on sale. Thank God. But yeah, all of it's super expensive, even for elementary stuff. It's expensive.
He's like fourth grade or something, right?
Yeah, he's fourth grade.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, anyway, so my week ended up being a whole lot more full than I thought it would be. So I still haven't gotten to touch Oblivion. And then to add to my pain, Epic Game Store, it won't be free anymore by the time this podcast comes out next week, but they currently have Dead Island 2 free through the 22nd.
Just add it to your library.
I did. But, like, that just furthers my pain, you know, because that there's another game I've kind of been waiting to either show up on Epic or you know, show up in Game Pass, right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Because I didn't like the first Dead Island enough to go spend, you know, the $60, you know, on Dead Island 2. But
I'll be honest with you, I like Dead Island 1 quite a bit. Hot take, I think some modernization that Dead Island 2 makes it more playable. I think the story's goofy. I mean, the story's goofy in all zombie games, right? But
yeah,
the story's kind of goofy, but beyond the story, like, the actual moment-to-moment gameplay and pacing in 2 is pretty good. So, I think you'll have a fun time. It's not a bad game. Not Game of the Year material, but, like, afternoon waster material for sure.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Just gotta, you know, actually be able to sit down with anything. Plus, now Doom the Dark Ages is out.
That is true.
And that's on Game Pass. And
I've got thoughts on it. I'll get to that in a minute. Did you do anything else other than baseball?
My week was consumed by baseball, mostly because, you know, I'm the first practice, I just winged it, right? You know, doing all the stretches, laying the kids through all the stretches and stuff. I remember, you know, a few basic drills, etc. But, like, I actually had to outline shit for practices 2 and 3.
Yeah, you actually have to think about what you're doing and actually coach.
Yeah, because, you know, a couple of them have at least played two or three different baseball seasons, right? So their fundamentals, while still not super solid, you know, for fourth graders, they're still better than, like, half of the others I've got on the team. So I've got to juggle the fact that I've got kids who this is their, oh, I've got a few kids that this is only their first or their second season playing ball at all. And then I've got ones like my son that have played 2 or 3 seasons. They were playing T-ball or machine pitch. And now this is coach pitch, and I've got 2 kids who've never played before.
Gotcha.
So
you're walking them through just the basics at this point.
I'm walking them through just the basics and hoping
they can catch a ball.
That they're not going to be scared in the batter's box when kids start throwing at them.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But tis the difference between playing, you know, in like a cheap rec community league or paying for actual competitive baseball, which there's no way.
Very fair. But
that's like $2,000 a season for competitive ball anymore. Ridiculous. Plus travel.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that when I was in high school, though it was just regional travel. So it wasn't anything out of state.
Well, and back when we did it, you know, it was like $200 or $300, you know, per kid, right, to pay the coach and their expenses. And then, you know, you had to pay for your own travel to games, right? And we went down like into North Texas and over in North Arkansas, but we really didn't go, you know, more than like 4 hours, right? But still, that just highlights it was a lot cheaper back then.
Yeah, it really was.
And even then, our parents thought it was expensive. So, I mean, hey, is what is. So I was just consumed about by becoming a coach. So fortunately not really any game again this week. Dang it. I need some game. I need my family to leave me alone. Let me play game.
I've had a really good week on the gig front. I got offered to do, well, initially two concerts this week. I had to turn one down because I already had one that's been on the books for 2 months. So I've been did pictures for a band called Flaw and another band, which won't know name because I don't want to tarnish their good name with my horrible self. But anyways, that was Friday, and then Thursday I got contacted about doing photos for Between the Buried and Me and Protest the Hero, which I had to turn down because I was doing Flaw the very next night, and I'm traveling tomorrow. And so it's like, I don't know that I'll have time to do both. I'm going to say no. Even though I want to end up going to that Between the Buried and Me show anyway, I don't physically have the time. Wish I had not planned this work trip. This work trip was 100% planned by me about a month and a half ago. Did not think about what I would be doing on my outside life at all, but like I'm committed to it, right? So I've got to do this work trip. So I can't cancel it unless something like major comes up personally. So Between the Buried and Me was great. Did two albums back to back. That was amazing. Then I went to the other show the following night, got a lot of really good photos, and actually had a lot of good moments. I'd taken pictures for Josie Scott, which is basically the vocalist of Saliva, and they do Saliva songs plus new songs. And I guess he owns the rights to all this old Saliva stuff. But I ran into the guitar player and drummer, and they hadn't really used my stuff. And I was like, man, maybe they just don't like my stuff. And got a buddy of mine in the industry that's basically my wingman and everything and just talks me up. And introduced me to the drummer and the bass player, and I did not realize they were local and more than local. The entire band like lives in this area. So,
oh, wow.
That's why they were just at a, you know, Friday night. They wanted to go see a show. They're both big fans of Flaw, so they came out, you know. And so I ran into those guys and was like, trying to play it cool. I was like, yeah, you guys look pretty familiar. And then they're like, yeah, we play with Josie Scott. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize you guys were local. I'm like, yeah. And I was like, pretty sure I took photos of you guys, but I didn't think you guys liked them that much. He's like, well, let me see. and showed one of the guys my photos. He's like, oh, these are really good. Like, better than really good. We didn't even see these. How do I find you? And so I gave my information, and then bass player like tagged everybody in the band on my photo page. And then friended me. And then the drummer friended me on both my profile page and the other one. Started sharing my stuff all over the place. So that was a really good, I guess, reconnection. It just, I was asking, it's like, well, the thing is like, you might have sent it to our manager. Maybe the manager, for one reason or another, just skipped the message or whatever, but we didn't see it. Like, none of us saw these at all. I was like, oh. He's like, yeah. And you tagged it, but like, we get 1,000 tags a day. So like, it's very possible we missed it. I was like, oh. I was like, yeah. And we don't check the messenger because we get fan messages like back to back, like every, we've got the notifications turned off. It's too much for us to handle. It's like, oh. So that was a good connection. The Flaw guys are really, really nice. The made buddies with their guitar player. And he's using my stuff right now, actually. I just got done with their stuff yesterday. And then while I was up there, there's a place called the Venue Shrine. I've been trying to get into this venue for a while, and the owner is pretty cool with me. Has posted a couple of sessions that I've done over there in the past, and he's like, hey, do you want to do this again? I was like, yeah. He's like, come in tomorrow night, act like you own the place. I was like, all right. I was like, who's playing? He's like, Shiny Ribs. I was like, what's that? He's like, it's a fusion of like modern music with country and 70s funk. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I really like him. He's like, I don't have a photographer for that show. Can you come take pictures? I was like, okay. So I got there last night, you know, again, like kicking myself that, you know, I'm going to be too busy before I go on this work trip. Because I got to turn around this stuff. I actually got to turn around today. I can't be on this podcast for a real long time. I still got several bands to edit. The openers, plus I got to finish Shiny Ribs. But yeah, when I got there, he's like, hey, so like I just finished, right? I got some really good photos. I got some crazy photos of this guy like going out in the crowd and dancing with the fans. It was super packed. Like, I haven't seen that much plastic surgery in a place in a long time. Like, this was very much, like, very well-off socialite, like, 50s and 60s women with their old husbands. Plus, like, women in their, like, late 20s. Like, it was such a weird crowd. And they were just, they were going wild over this, like, a Taylor Swift concert. So, like, imagine a lot of, like, older people, like, just yelling and screaming for this band. It's, I've never been in this side of the music industry at all. It was a phenomenon. And then, you know, the lead vocalist, I guess, you know, really good at fan interaction, decided for one of the songs he was just going to go out there and dance with all the ladies in the crowd. And of course, I got a bunch of pictures of him doing that, and he saw me following him around, so he started hamming it up. But yeah, that was a complete look way out of my wheelhouse for a guy that listens to a lot of like dark electronic rock and rock and 90s alternative and metal and punk.
Fucking thrash shit like Meshuga.
Yeah, like this was completely out of my wheelhouse, but I shot it differently, as the main focus wasn't all of the musicians, it was mostly the main character. Like every time I'd like walk like a duck or do something silly on stage, like the fan would just go ape shit. But I got a lot of good photos, and Donnie saw me. I took a lot of photos of the crowd, which is not something I normally do either. This place was like completely packed out. Not a huge capacity venue. It's about 500 people. But the owner came up to me afterwards, and he's like, hey, so you've been really consistent. He's like, I can see you're working your ass off. He's like, you have free reign. You can come in here whenever you want. Any show you want to shoot, you can come in here. He's like, I still don't have somebody for Andy Dick next week, so if you want to shoot that, you can. He's like, literally anybody. He's like, if for any reason it seems like they might be kind of iffy, it's like, you're part of staff now. You can shoot here anytime you want. So,
damn, that's cool.
So I've got free reign at that venue. That's the first venue I have complete free reign access now for any show. So I don't have to buy tickets if I've got my camera with me for anything. Which is pretty sweet.
That is sweet.
So that's why I've got to finish this today.
I got to say that it doesn't surprise me about the crowd. I mean, that's anything that's like a more modern take on any band that's like a more modern take on country. Yeah, in this region is going to draw like weirdly big crowds.
Yeah, and it's not like modern country rock. Like, it doesn't really have a rock element at all. Like, this is like bluegrass, blues, very old school funk. Like, yeah, it's backup singers, right? Like, it's very much, and they're all kind of dirty songs. So, like, I guess it's a little bit transgressive. So the crowd is like, oh, this is kind of, you know, I don't know. But it, apparently the crowd just loved it. I haven't seen a reaction like that except for a handful of the shows that I've been to. I've never just seen people, because, you know, there's not like, it's a different environment than what I'm used to. But yeah, like the crowd was a little bit worried about the rednecks getting a little too drunk because I had to go back and forth in the room and squeeze my way past a bunch of people as I did a lot of things. But yeah, I actually had a lot of fun. I did not expect to have a lot of fun at that. I did have a lot of fun at that. But that means that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm busy with this stuff. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, I am also busy with work. The only gaming I'll get done the next 3 days is whatever I play on my Steam Deck. I've got a couple of ideas on some stuff, so we have some new content for next week. In between all of this, Doom released on Wednesday. So I got some time in on that. I got through the first three levels of Doom. It's not Doom Eternal. It's Doom the Dark Ages, which is like going back in time with the Doom Slayer. Let's sum it up this way. It's good. All right. I'm going to speak more about it than that, but it's pretty good. It feels very Arcadia. I feel like Doom 2016 took itself a little bit seriously. Doom Eternal is very arcadey, but like very high skill ceiling, right? Like you're going to be zipping around a lot of platforming. It's like the Mario of Doom games, and it just doesn't, you got to spend a lot of airtime you got to do in that game to be good.
Yeah. I think they saw Doom Eternal as to be a sequel to 2016 Doom. They just had to be like, okay, the invasion's happening. This is just all out war. We're not putting much story in here. You're just busting through to kill everything.
Yeah, it was a higher skill. I didn't finish it because I don't have the reflexes for that.
I beat it a couple times.
This is slowed down in a good way. Not everything's as slow, right? So like with your shield, you can kind of hold up your shield and lock on and hit your fire button, and you just zip across the field to whatever it is and shield slam them, right? If it's a smaller enemy, that might mean that they're just completely just mulched. You're not killing things for pickups, but you can modify your weapons to drop things, right? So you can modify your weapons to drop like armor on hit, or health on hit, right? Like doing some melee kills gives you health back. There are pickups all over the place. There is a lot of parrying, which is different. So if you see a green projectile or a green attack, you can hit your shield block, you know, time it. The parry window is pretty forgiving. You can actually tune the parry window as part of the difficulty sliders. But it's tuned in a way like it's not inherently difficult. The shield takes about 3 or 4 hits before it drops. So like if you're in the middle of a battlefield and there's just like stuff going all over the place, you can block to get into a better position. But yeah, you can also parry attacks, and that does pretty good damage. Like there's whole sections of the game that I was simply playing melee because I was having a lot of fun with it. So I play melee and then I just use my shotgun, but I was just like, well, this melee thing's pretty fun. I'm just going to keep doing that. It's not as built around single weapons as the last game. So if you have a gun that's just working for you, you can continue to invest points into that. has an upgrade system based on gold. So you find gold all over the level, and like all Doom games, like it's all about exploration too. So you can open up your map and then see that there's like an area down below that you want to get to, and then you got to kind of figure out how to get to it. Maybe you break open an air vent or like find a place where you can kind of zip up on a cliff so that you can get down. The areas are really big too. Like there's a lot of like, there are some corridors and then there's some really big open areas. And in previous Doom games, you could just kind of back up, right? If you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed and then just kind of get into the fray or ease your way into the fray. Because sometimes, you know, there's not a mini map, right? Like there's a big map, that's it. So sometimes I'll start to get a little bit overwhelmed and then end up backing into another group of like 60 enemies. So there are times where that's kind of screwed me. You've kind of got life up. So like you can find a item in a level that basically just gives you a life back if you die. Which is good for probably accessibility, right? So you don't have to completely restart the section you're in. You're like, well, it encourages you to try some crazier things because you're like, if I make a mistake, I've got up to 3 chances, right? Like you can find up to 3 of these. And I think they carry over between levels if I remember right. So if you screw up, right, like, well, I can use my health back thing to get my life back and potentially be able to overcome this challenge that I'm in. But I'm only 3 levels deep. But just the tone of the game, the pacing of the game just vibes better. It vibes for me in the same way that Doom 2016 did. And that's important because, like I said, Doom Eternal was a little too hyper for me. And that just wasn't working. This just, it feels chunky. It feels weighty. It does feel fast when you want it to be fast. Like you're running all the time, right? There's no sprint bar. So you're running all the time if you want to, which is who doesn't. And then just kind of zipping around the battlefield. Like all the projectiles are pretty clearly outlined, so you can kind of get around stuff. But Doom Eternal, man, Doom Dark Ages, to me, is pretty much where I wanted it to be. And that's saying something because I was a little bit worried. Because, again, the last one was just so much on the side of just being incredibly difficult. And it's based on being in the air, right? And I didn't want to be in the air.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Did you have some issues getting it running the first time?
Yeah, I did. It doesn't like if you have more than one monitor for some reason, so I thought the game was broken. I reinstalled it twice, and it's not a small game. It's like 70 gigs. So the night that I was going to play it, got a chance to talk to Rusty, so I spent most of the evening talking to him. But I didn't launch it because I was talking to him, you know. And the end of the night, I was like, oh, it won't launch. Well, I'll re-download it and let it download overnight. Then I tried it in the morning before I went to work and it wouldn't launch. And I was like, oh man. So then that evening, when I was at lunch, I went through and looked on Reddit, right? Just see what users are saying. And apparently it just doesn't like multi-monitor setups on the initial launch. So it just said disable or turn off your second monitor. It's like, well, that's easy enough. I just turned it off, right? Game launched just fine. Yeah, then after that, I haven't had an issue.
I seem to remember Doom Eternal having a similar thing, either with dual monitors or with ultra wides when it first came out.
Maybe it runs pretty good after I got it going. Again, I'm not the case study for this because, well, I'm running a 4090. But yeah,
wait till I get my 3080 on that bitch. We'll see.
I've heard it's been running pretty good on a lot of 30 series cards, honestly.
Yeah, but I have the 10 gig, not the 12 gig version of the 3080. So,
how much RAM do you have on your machine?
16. I've not gone up to 32 yet.
Yeah, you need to upgrade your RAM at some point.
I've actually toyed with the idea of just buying 64 gigs of RAM and throwing it in here.
Yeah, 16 is getting to be on the low side nowadays. Hell, 32 is getting to be on the low side nowadays.
Yeah, 32, I think, is pretty much like the new standard right now. Like,
yeah.
Especially for gaming. The last couple of years, it's really bumped up to that.
Well, you're going to run into issues of it page filing instead if you want to run better looking textures. Now, you 1080 games still because you game on a small monitor.
Yep.
So you may not run into any issues, but...
I mean, that's saved me so far, but, you know, with most games, but, you know, we'll see. I think, I had some issues with Starfield back when I played that. Though Indiana Jones and the Great Circle played for me without issues. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I did attempt to beat a game. I didn't quite get through it. I'm almost there. I've been playing Forever Skies. I'm literally at the last moments in that game. It does pretty good. It's like a B-tier Subnautica. I think where Subnautica shines is that Subnautica is 100% handcrafted environment, where Forever Skies generates a world for you, right? So the world's divided up into different zones. But it's, to kind of recap what the game is Forever Skies is basically a Subnautica in a blimp. The ground below is completely polluted and toxic and poisonous, right? There's a layer of smog, essentially. Poisonous, they call it the dust, but an area where you can't breathe. And so you craft a blimp, right? And the blimp flies over this generated area, and it has points of interest, right, where you can gather materials to craft things. And those points of interest after a while start to repeat. And so you kind of get used to like, oh, this point of interest typically has these things. I'm going to go down to it and grab those things so that I can make better tools for my blimp, etc. It's never too hardcore on the survival aspect of it. Like, not very many times I'm ever running out of stuff. Like, you can grow a garden, but the garden, you really only ever need about one of every plant, and you continue to amass seeds, and you can't really do anything with the seeds, so except for just toss them. And there's object terminants, so you end up with like all these seeds sitting in your, like at one point I had all these seeds sitting in my blimp, and I was just like, well, this next point of interest, I'm going to drop off all these seeds on the ground, and it puts them in a little, so like the object doesn't lay on the ground, the object is a cube. So it's not like Gamebryo or something like that where you're dropping like a seed, it's always like a little cube, but that cube represents the seed, etc. But anyways, The moment-to-moment gameplay is pretty good. Like, the blimp controls pretty well. The storms are pretty wild-looking. Going down in the dust and exploring the different points of interest are pretty cool. Fighting the mantises is kind of a challenge, though not with charge bolts. It's a pretty solid game. It's got a pretty interesting twist on the story as you're trying to resolve the central story plot as you go along. Basically, you've got some people in space that are trapped and running low on supplies. So you're kind of going down there to see if you can find a place where everybody can live. And in the course of this, you're trying to cure a virus. So you're basically a scientist. And kind of faced with a moral dilemma at the end of it, which is kind of nice. But like overall, it's a pretty good game, right? Like, I don't think it ever prices itself more than $20, so that's a pretty decent price point. I do have on the docket as well, I've been playing a little bit of a game called Mortal Sin. Saw a PC Gamer story that said they had revamped some of the graphics on it. It's a very wild-looking game to begin with, and that's kind of hard to describe what it looks like. Very crunchy textures, very, very high contrast colors, very stylized art style. And they did a filter that you could put on it that made everything a little bit easier to see. And that was the whole thing I had against this game. It's a roguelite where you kind of go through an area, and if you can clear it, then you go to the next area. And if you can clear it, you can go to the next area, and then it random gens each one of those, and then there's different versions of each of those dungeons based on the order that you clear them, complete with bosses and stuff like that. And it kind of plays like a boomer shooter with melee, mostly with a little bit of projectile. So there's a lot of timing of like timing and blocking and parrying enemy attacks to get further. And then you unlock different classes that have different weapon styles, etc. Probably play pretty good on my Steam Deck. So that might be something I play on my Steam Deck. But, and then I haven't had time to jump back into Kazan. I think I've got this last round of pictures today. I've got travel. We'll see if I take pictures of Andy Dick next week. I may put that off because I need a break. Because Sunday next week I do promos at this old warehouse that I'm doing. So I kind of need a break. But yeah, it's been a very busy week.
I can imagine, man. Sounds like you had fun, though.
Yeah, I did have fun. Like, no doubt about it, just trying to find places where I can put some game in there, too. It's just been busy.
Well, you know, when you're a budding concert photographer.
Yeah, that's something. That's a goal for myself. Yeah, my brother was trying to ask me, he's like, hey, if you string that guitar and start a plan? And I was like, bro, I don't even have time for me, let alone relearning guitar right now. Nothing against it. I just don't know when I have time to play it.
I can 100% understand that. I just have kids instead of concerts.
Yes, you have multiple children. All right. Well, do we want to take a break?
I think we're in a good spot. And when we come back, we'll talk PAX East.
All right. We'll be back, guys. Back. No woohoo.
Woohoo.
So, in the world of regular news, there's not a lot. In the world of indie news, there's some. In the world of PAX news, there's a little bit. We're kind of trying to dig through stuff. The thing is there wasn't, like, it's weird that I'm not seeing a lot of news outlets, like, report on this at all. I don't know if, like, PAX East has just gotten smaller or what, but there's a handful of decent things that were explored there. Unfortunately, it feels like most of the people tried to cover all the really boring, super vanilla games. Devolver didn't really disappoint, though. And neither did some of the indie developers that are typically at PAX. There's a game that we were looking at called Cyber Lich, which is a highly stylized boomer shooter, I think, is the easiest way to say that that's what it is. The graphics look like they were hand-drawn, right? Everything's got very stark contrast. Like, your character doesn't have, like, any color fill. It's all white, like it was drawn. And, it just looks kind of bananas, honestly. Lots of red, lots of white, lots of grayscale. Lots of skeletons to kill. Lots of goofy ass weapons, etc. But yeah, Cyber Lich. Keep an eye out on that. That might be. It looks like somebody who got sick of working in a corporate environment.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's the full title just. Because Cyber Lich brings up so much when I Google search it. It's Cyber Lich and the Death Cult of Labor.
Seems like a good game to blow off some steam. But it's made by very, very small...
And you can wish it listed on Steam right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like the mature content description. Contains lots of violence, blood, occasional gore, explicit language, and illicit substance use. And then there it fired up as I was reading it off. Something else that I'd looked at that might be kind of interesting for some folks. I think me and Jason actually kind of took a liking to it. It's something called Don't Wake the Beast. And what it was is it was a stealth game about looting. So it looks like it's got procedurally generated boards. It's kind of done in like a Super Nintendo art style. It's very much a game about evading traps. It looked like if you stepped on gold, that would draw the enemy's attention. And then I guess whenever you loot the big item, I don't know if there's any other monsters, but it looked like a big dragon would chase you through the level blowing fire while you had to escape and hide and try to dodge all the attacks. So it looked like the progression was tied to how successful you were on your loot runs. But art style was really good. The presentation looked good. The controls looked really good. I think I could get down with this, so hopefully this doesn't take too long to get out, but it is also wishlistable.
Yeah, it definitely looked like a, you know, gameplay wise, like a mix between like a Super Nintendo like RPG dungeon and a and like Deadwood.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which I'm totally down for. I mean, we both love Deadwood. So
that game is actually the creepiest 2.5 or 2D game I've ever played. Another game that was different was We Harvest Shadows. I've seen, if you want to see some actual gameplay, Splattercat has a series on this. They typically get stuff way well before it goes into alpha. But from what I remember, and then after watching the trailer, a lot of this is essentially like a farming survival game with a lot of horror elements and a lot of survival elements put together. And on the flip side of it, you need money to upgrade stuff, so you sell some of the components of things that you harvest in the area around your house. I think the idea is that you can't escape the woods that you're in, and you're in like an old dilapidated farmhouse. And so, like, you go to bed, and then creepy things happen in the middle of the night, right? Sometimes you have to deal with it, sometimes you don't. But all the while, you're trying to improve this farmhouse and defend yourself against monsters, which is an interesting take on the whole genre. So, might actually be pretty good. We'll see. Something that looked really compelling that we found very randomly as we were digging through stuff. A game called Swap Meet. Swap Meet was... looks like it's a game that it's kind of like a Risk of Rain. So in Risk of Rain, you'd find like little areas where you could buy power-ups or discover power-ups, right? And then you combined all those things together to create like your ultimate character, so to speak, right? Try to get the run to go all the way through, or that you might repeat it. No, me and Rusty, when Risk of Rain 2 came out a couple years ago, like we played the hell out of that. It was a good game. This kind of has a similar feel. You destroy enemies, and then it looks like you have the option of swapping body parts with them. So you create a hodgepodge core character of different abilities, etc., based on what parts that you swap, which is why it's called Swap Meat, M-E-A-T. Again, had some real Risk of Rain vibes with a different take on how you get your power up, so that might actually be pretty cool. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, that might be really fun, actually.
There is a... So, the people from Warframe are going to release a pre-alpha at TennoCon of Soulframe. You might be following this, but... like, the long short of it is it looks like a take on Warframe in like kind of a medieval fantasy setting, right? Like you got a the trailer that you can find, they've got a wizard, they've got an archer, and they've got a melee character. And played a lot of Warframe for a while. Warframe was always pretty good. Very good at procedural generation. One of the first to do that quite well. It just felt like towards the end you weren't... I don't know how you complete it, but I haven't played it in a while. Rusty has put well over 1,000 hours in Warframe, so it's probably... His take on this might be better, so we might bring it back up. But, yeah, it's another game from the guys that have done Warframe, just in a different setting, but very similar gameplay is what it looks like, just completely different setting. So I look forward to seeing what comes of Soulframe. But, like, in the world of things that are, like, actually going on in the gaming world, like, this is just a very dry week. Like, I remember, so we did some PAX episodes years ago. I'm going to say at this point, it was like 8 years ago. It was the last time that we did a visit to PAX plus PAX episodes. And I want to say that I came back with like 40 different news items when I went to PAX. And this year, we managed to clear like 7. Like, I don't know what's going on with PAX. We've got announcements coming up, right? Like, we're going to have the Xbox showcase that happens next month. We'll have the PC game showcase done by the PC Gaming Magazine. It'll be coming up next month. And next month is coming up soon. We're only 2 weeks away. So hopefully we get a few more announcements as to what's going on. It's just kind of like this weird void that's been left with... Shit, I can't even remember. What's the name of the gaming convention that just stopped being? Do you remember what that was called, Jason?
Oh, E3?
Yeah. And in the wake of E3, like, gaming announcements are in a weird spot. And I think it's a lot of it is, there's just a lot of bloat right now, right? Like, there's a weird... So in like the triple A game space, right? Like, there's not a lot of stuff coming out that's landing. Or there's a lot of people that are trend chasing, right? Like, a lot of people are kind of in a space right now where they feel like Marathon's probably going to fail, just based on it being super generic. I found a lot of stuff where Bungie used just straight ripped off other people's art that were on the internet, right? To create different elements of that. And just Marathon to me, like, again, I'm not the right crowd for, an extraction shooter, right? But, like, it feels super bland. Like, the art style they went with is super clean and super boring, if that makes any sense, right? It just lacks a certain amount of character. And very plasticky, right? Like, I don't understand the art style. But
yeah, I don't either.
Like, I feel a lot of people are chasing this trend of, you know, some kind of like multiplayer shooter game, right? Like, yeah, those do fine. But you kind of have like the juggernauts that have been doing it forever that are good at it. And so, and you don't necessarily, like, you might jump into something like that, but you might not, right? I'm not the target audience for that stuff, so I'm not ever going to do that. I spend money on games like a motherfucker, but I don't spend a lot of money on AAA games. I spend a lot of money on Steam sales, essentially, right? Or indie games. But on the flip side of it, right, you've got a lot of indie games playing it super safe and creating lots of really generic platformer or puzzle games, which don't interest me, right? Like, there's been some successful co-op games, and so we've got a rash of co-op stories that came out of PAX, and me and you watched the videos for that. None of those games look particularly interesting. Like, I was kind of left with a... Like, it just felt like... was it Newgrounds that used to have all of those Flash games? It felt very much like Flash games from, like, 15 years ago. Like, super generic, basic-ass games that not a lot of substance with a little bit of style. But even the style was playing it safe. You were literally watching a game where they reused free use assets for the game, and that was a selling point. I was thinking to myself, so you didn't hire artists? Or, like, I don't get this. You lack creativity? Is that the selling point is you lack creativity, and you created a really boring-ass, bland game. And then you got some stuff in between, right? Like, Mortal Sin, something I'm playing right now that seems really good. So we shall see what that's like. Forever Skies was decent, though not the absolute best game that's out there. I don't know. Like, it feels like just about, you know, what's Expedition 33 is a sin. It's not an indie game, but it's a studio's first game. And that seems pretty darn good. Things that you might play that are playable right now. I know I talked about it a little bit last week, but Dead Zone Rogue is something I'm starting to work my way through, which is a pretty good roguelite that's out there right now. Mandragora, again, a single-layer, double-A game, is out, and it's pretty good as well if you like Salt and Sanctuary. So kind of a take on that kind of game. Kazan, some people have bounced off really hard because the game is pretty hard, but it is also super tightly tuned. If you're a fan of Neo, I feel, in anime, which I'm not a fan of anime, but I'm a fan of Neo, that might be a game that you might check out. And then Tempest Rising is essentially Red Alert, which is something else that I've got in my backlog right now to play. There's also something that looks really cool, and it seems like it's really kind of hedging its bets around Horde mode, essentially. Yeah, there's... Right now, Doom is the thing to play. I know there's a lot of people looking at that Night Rain for Elden Ring. If you play online with people, that might be a thing. But if you're like the three of us who have vastly different schedules, that's probably not the thing for you. But in the world of gaming right now, there is just not a lot going on, it feels like. Maybe that's just the ADD nature of what we do. But there's just not a lot of new or a lot of groundbreaking stuff that's out there right now for anyone to play. I don't know. Do you have any different thoughts on that?
No. No, I pretty much agree with everything you said.
And the only things that you have on your docket right now is basically, what, Oblivion?
Oblivion, Doom, and now Dead Island 2, since I have it free. So that'll be lower on the priority list because, well, it's in my library. I have it.
That's very fair. Well, is there any upcoming games that really strike anyone's fancy? Because I'm at a loss right now. To be fair, I don't have time to play a whole lot of stuff coming up until about end of next month. I'm going to try to get through what I got.
Well, I know next month we're going to get...
Oh, Death Stranding comes out, huh? Death Stranding 2.
Let's see. Yeah, Death Stranding 2 comes out next month. Dune Awakening will release next month, but only on PlayStation 5 and Xbox. Feel like there's something here I'm not seeing, but that I know is coming out.
Monster Train. Monster Train comes out in a week. Monster Train 2. You were just watching footage of that. You forgot to mention it, but that's a...
Yeah.
That looks good. Both me and you played a lot of 1. Like, 1 was pretty addictive. Oh, yeah. Onimusha 2. That comes out... By the time we release this episode, this will be out. Onimusha 2. It comes out Friday. Shit.
Also... gosh, I can't... find it, but find the exact date for whatever reason. But I do know RoboCop Rogue City Unfinished Business comes out early July.
So you got plenty of time.
Yeah, July 12th.
Yeah, if you guys wonder why we're rushing just a little bit, we've got a pretty big storm brewing.
Yep. And we're trying to get finished before one of our powers gets knocked out, if it does. So, otherwise, I don't really remember seeing anything that really piqued my interest as far as anything IGN or The Verge covered out of PAX East. So,
well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channels, youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends to show you've got For the Love of Gaming, Picking Up the Pixels, or Pupcast, and tvgp.tv. They do shooters better than we do. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.